Two personalities debating today's biggest geek topics. This is Project Nerds Versus.
Welcome, ladies and nerds, to the first ever episode of Project Nerds Versus.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Iggy.
And as you may know, we're best known for arguing with each other on Project Nerds, the Nerdcast. So we thought we would spin it off into its whole new show.
Yeah, we're going to argue here, right here on Versus, where we're going to cover today's top geek and pop culture topics, but in a very debatable way. So we'll go through a list of fun items and hopefully give you some arguing, but we may agree sometimes.
I doubt it, but let's get to it.
All right. Awesome. Well, let's dive right in. And it's that time of year, whether you're a sports fan or not, where the Super Bowl is just around the corner, as I guess we're supposed to call it, the big game. So it'll be here, you know, right before we know it. And like all other years, we should get a stack of interesting commercials. Although big brands like Budweiser and Pepsi have taken a step back, and Coca-Cola is completely not going to advertise at all, instead putting those funds towards COVID relief. We're still going to see some big trailers, and I'm already starting to see rumors. So what trailers are on the docket for the big game this year, Tyler? What are you looking for?
I mean, I feel like this year, like you said, a lot of big brands are bowing out, or we're going to see a lot of, what's the word? Wholesome commercials, you know, saluting first responders and frontline workers and things of that nature. Hopefully they're better than, you know, everyone. What's the Pepsi one? But with the Kardashian, Jenner, whatever. Anyway. Trailers, though, is usually the one, like, especially around these parts, the thing we get the most excited about. The problem, I think, this year is I think so many of the trailers that are going to get played are for movies that we've probably already seen trailers for, than for movies that were supposed to come out, you know, last year. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm going to be pumped to see a new Dune trailer. I'm going to be pumped to see a No Time to Die trailer. I'm going to be pumped to see, you know, any number of if I had to guess, like, I think the only thing we might see that we haven't seen yet is possibly a new Marvel trailer. Like, they've only been filming in Atlanta for a short period of time. Maybe there's enough footage to cut together a Spider-Man 3 trailer. Maybe we'll get a title announcement, possibly an Eternals trailer. Obviously, we had a lot of Black Widow trailers that then they stopped showing once they realized they were going to push the movie back. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see a Black Widow trailer. We're probably going to see a Dune trailer. We're probably going to see a James Bond trailer. But outside of that, if I had to pick a trailer that I don't think we've seen before, the smart money is on the Eternals. I think the long money, but the more exciting money is on a Spider-Man 3 trailer.
All right. I think this is Warner Brothers' chance to shine. We've talked about it on the Nerdcast some, on the website. That big news where Warner Brothers doing day and date with HBO Max, and they're showing us just tidbits of a bunch of different movies. We obviously got the Godzilla versus Kong trailer, but I mean, there's so much in there. The Suicide Squad, Space Jam 2. We could even get a teaser for The Matrix. I think Warner Brothers has a chance to kind of... It was kind of taken badly after everybody pushed back with their HBO Max announcement. Maybe this is a way they can kind of curve it over. My bet on the trailer is we're going to see a Space Jam trailer. We're going to see a sports themed movie trailer. LeBron is money right now. Long gamble. Maybe I'm going to stick with Warner and go with the Matrix teaser. I'm going to go with the Matrix teaser since you took the Marvel stuff.
I like it. I think we both have. I think Space Jam is probably a safe bet. I think that's a good call.
And I'm excited for Space Jam.
Yeah. I guess.
right.
We'll see. But to keep with Warner Brothers, speaking of Warner Brothers, if Hollywood has proven one thing to us over the last, I don't know, forever, it's that no childhood is safe, ever. The adaptations just keep a coming. And Warner Brothers is going back to the Harry Potter well. They've just announced that they're working on a live action series for HBO Max. It's very early in the planning stages, but considering how much people love Harry Potter, it's hard to believe that this won't be a huge hit. Right. Have we had too much Harry Potter, and will the series take on a different part of the universe? Or, I mean, are we going to try something new again? Like, we've got the Fantastic Beasts went in a different direction, but are we going to go back to the Hogwarts well, or are we going to try something else?
So I'm glad you that last part there, because Fantastic Beasts obviously did not get to the level of Harry Potter. And that's where I'm worried about here. I'm worried Warner is going to bank on having to have Harry Potter and those characters in it. And we're either going to see them either younger or older or something. I could deal with them being older, but I think this is something to where if you're going to do this, very similar to like how we're doing the Game of Thrones prequels also on HBO, you need to explore what else is out there. So my opinion is you need to get out there, but I think it's going to be focused on Harry Potter himself, or at least his immediate family, unfortunately. What says you?
I mean, I am odd out. I'm the odd man out. I'm of all the people in the project, I'm probably the least Harry Potter-ish person. I was never someone who read the books. I was a little too old for it. I viewed them as, when I was a kid and they were getting popular, I was like, that's kid's fantasy. I read Tolkien and Jordan and whatever. I was an idiot. I was an asshole. But long story short, I was never a huge fan of them. I think there's a couple pieces with this that I think are a problem. One, J.K. Rowling, not a super popular person these days.
That's fair.
She just keeps opening her mouth and keeps saying things that alienate more and more of her fan base on a regular basis. On a less, I don't want to say subjective, but on a less like controversial note, almost everything that she tries to write to expand the Harry Potter universe either comes off as tacked on and a little bit not great to straight up like tone deaf. Like her, the stuff she wrote around like wizardry with Native Americans was at best the worst. It was at worst just, you know, offensive in ways I can't even list, to the point where, and then, you know, articles about wizards straight, you know, shitting themselves in public because magic, you know, like it's, I know I'm pissing off a lot of people. I know people love Pottermore. I know there's people within Project Nerd who love all things Harry Potter, no matter how ridiculous. But I mean, I guess at this point, I am on board with an attempt at some more Harry Potter, as long as it is hopefully new characters and, you know, maybe take a crack at it without JK, you know, literally doing anything.
Well, I mean, she gets money either way. So however you feel about that, she's getting money. But I agree. Keep her away from the writing. But let's talk a little bit about award season, which is something we usually cover greatly. And we're usually at the point where we're already predicting movies, but obviously everything was pushed back. So Spike Lee's The Five Bloods won some of the biggest awards from the National Board of Review this week. They won Best Film. Spike Lee got Best Director and the cast got Best Ensemble. First Cow was winning all of those early awards from the guilds. The critics. And then we saw a lot of love for Frances McDormand's Nomadland, which I think right now still seems to be a lot of people's favorites for Best Picture. But there's a lot of other good movies. I see One Night in Miami was fantastic, some other good stuff. What's the current favorite for Best Picture, Tyler? And are we going to have to get the Nerdcast crew together to do the little predictions once they finally do announce the nominees?
I think we do, but I think first we're going to have to get together and watch all the nominees. Right. I mean, I get to this point, for one, time has no meaning. Time is a flat circle. Last year was a wash. I have the hardest time even understanding what movies technically came out in 2020, 2021, 2019. It's all one big blur to me. But if we're going to just go straight odds, I think Nomadland is still the clear favorite. I don't think any other movie has done quite enough to jump. But at the same time, like I said, it's such a weird year. I think there's a lot of movies on this list that there's been a lot of buzz for. I shouldn't say a lot of buzz. I would say that this is one of the most wide open years. I could list off the top of my head probably 5 to 10 movies that I think could win. Like you mentioned, One Night in Miami. I would throw Mank in there. I would throw The Five Bloods in there. Minari, which I thought was amazing, has been getting a lot of buzz lately. I mean, First Cow, anything A24, I think, has a chance to surprise some people. A24 just does fun and creative stuff. I've heard people talk about The Trial of the Chicago 7, you know, Aaron Sorkin's so Netflix movie getting in there. I mean, it's pure Sorkin. And if you like that, you like that. If you don't, you don't. But, and I could also see, I think, one that I really enjoyed that kind of came out of nowhere for a lot of people, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Fantastic. Also, you know, one of the last performances we got from Chadwick Boseman, which gives it a lot of buzz. The Father, I've heard a lot, the Anthony Hopkins movie. I haven't seen it, but I've heard nothing but amazing things for it. I could see even like Soul, like something from Pixar sneaking in and winning. The field is, I think there was a lot of great movies last year, but because of the way things shook out, I think it's wide open.
Right. And with the rule change and everything too, I think allowed a lot of these streaming platforms to even throw more at the award, you know, wall and see what sticks. But Nomadland seems like the favorite here, but I really think, remember, this is the year the Oscars set up all the new diversity measures and they're trying to be aware of this stuff. And you have a lot of things going in that direction and you have some really powerful movies that either deal a little bit with, you know, race and things of that nature, like with the Trial of Chicago 7, or you have the straight up movies like One Night in Miami. You mentioned Ma Rainey's The Five Bloods, which are, you know, evolve around a minority cast and minority filmmakers. So I think the biggest problem right now is that when we do the Nerdcast where we predict who's going to win, we'll be lucky if any of us gets over into double digit scores, because you're exactly right. I think especially the major categories, it's so wide open and unpredictable right now. Maybe after we see the Golden Globes and a few other things, we can feel a little bit more comfortable, but I don't know. I'm going to say there's going to be a dark horse, but I think it is Nomadland versus The Field, as you said.
Yeah, like there's always a few locks. I would say this year, I can think of maybe, I think Anthony Hopkins, from everything I've heard, is probably a lock for best actor. That's probably the only one I would put money on right now.
Right.
Viola Davis versus Frances McDormand for best actress, I think, is a coin flip. Apparently, Viola Davis is getting all the buzz, but I think Anthony Hopkins is sure one, like, that'll win. And I think you could probably say Soul's going to win best. Well, Soul will win best.
Best animated easily.
Yeah, that's a walk. So
yeah, the only
although thing I really like the new, what's it, Wolfwalkers was fantastic. I don't know if it's even up. I really enjoyed it, but you have to have Apple TV Plus to see it. So
yeah, that's fair. But the first one of the trilogy, The Secret of the Kells, got nominated that year, so maybe it will. But the only thing I'd add to that is I could see Bozeman being a pretty big favorite for one of his roles of being best supporting actor, just being, you know, the posthumous award. But anyways.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. This will definitely be the most, I don't know if exciting is ever a word you can use for watching the Oscars, but that's the best I can come up with.
Yeah.
So speaking of movies, speaking of weird things being weird and pandemics and things ruining everything, AMC was just barely treading water before the pandemic came, and then people stopped going to movies for a year, and it got even worse. But we've just now gotten news over the last couple of weeks that AMC, the movie theater, has raised just under $1 billion in new equity to try and basically stave off bankruptcy until they can get some semblance of profitability back. All of this happened prior to them being targeted by a lot of the, what's the best word for it, activist retail trading that's been going on between Wall Street Bets, Reddit. AMC is poised to be the next GameStop, even though they're not nearly as shorted on the market. I guess between all the weird stuff happening out in the world, how long does this push back, you know, AMC's inevitable bankruptcy?
Right. And I added this question before you even talked about, like, a bunch of that stuff started popping up with the stock market, but under $1 billion. But how much of it is like debts they're going to have to pay back, and when do they have to pay it back too? I feel like they're just, you know, once you start digging, and this happens a lot of times, not just with movie theaters, but a lot of businesses, once they start digging, it's just, you're digging and digging and digging. I think we'll see them come back a little bit, maybe not be successful, then try to kind of reinvent themselves, as we've talked about a lot, how the kind of the boutique theater experience is really what's going to probably be the thing that shines after the return of, you know, going to the movies. But I really just, I don't see AMC hanging out for more than a couple more years, at least not without a new owner or without a completely new image and brand.
Yeah, they're going to have to do some sort of restructure, sell off. And maybe bankruptcy is the best thing. I think AMC is one of those companies that probably, like many, grew too fast, too big too fast. Maybe it's just a matter of, we're going to shutter half our theaters. And I mean, now to be fair, Kansas City is a bad example because AMC is headquartered in Kansas City, Kansas, but there's like 20 AMCs in the greater metro area. And each of those has anywhere from 10 to 20 some screens. Like the one I go to is the one like next door to AMC headquarters. And it's the AMC 20, it's 20 theaters, including an Atmos and an IMAX and, you know, 18 other theaters. And it's a beautiful theater. I love going to it. I really do, but they probably don't need quite as many as they do, especially in the new world that we're facing. So I don't know. And then like you said, all this happened before AMC was targeted as like It's not being shorted to the level of something like a GameStop, but it has sites today alone, its stock went up 265% just based on people buying into it because of the short positions other people had taken on the, it has no bearing on the actual success of the company as people, right. As anyone who was confused about the fundamentals of the stock market and actual profitability and performance and growth being tied in any way to a company's stock price was disabused of that notion this week. But AMC is a prime example of that. Near bankruptcy, up 265% just because of a feedback loop. Don't get me wrong, I am a big fan of hedge funds taking into the teeth for, you know, shorting companies, but it's going to be a volatile couple of weeks, so we'll see.
Right. And just to add on that, you said Kansas City, but here in Denver, my four on the northwest side, my four closest theaters, we have the one draft house that was just built, and then I have three AMCs. Those are my four closest theaters. And yeah, it's 24 screens, 14 screens, and then I think a 12 screen attached to them all. So, which
yeah. And Kansas City has, yeah, Kansas City has another locally owned theater company, Screen Armor, which has theaters everywhere, plus an Alamo, plus a drive-in. Like, I don't think that their model of a theater on every corner was sustainable. So
no, the Starbucks model wasn't working. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about streaming. I know we've been watching WandaVision. If you haven't been watching it, maybe just, you know, give about 5 minute break, go grab a drink or something like that. Cause we're going to talk a little bit about it. Most of it's going to be our predictions because we've watched three episodes in 2 weeks. We're here on episode four, week three. They're all been half hour episodes, but we've been promised they're going to longer. They're kind of fitting a sitcom style as it seems to move through the decades. Weirder and weirder stuff is starting to happen. What the hell's going on, Tyler? What the hell is going on with WandaVision? Where is this going? Or where do you think it's going?
I have a lot of theories, and obviously there's a million other theories out there. The issue is, I don't want to inadvertently spoil it for anyone who's specifically not familiar with a lot. I mean, there's a lot going on in this that kind of ties into multiverse stuff. There's a lot of stuff here that possibly ties into the House of M storyline from Marvel Comics that was very, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, Wanda-centric. There's obviously been teases to S.W.O.R.D. There's been teases to some other things. We know that Wanda may or may not be big part of the next Doctor Strange movie. So it's possible we're doing some setups for that. I feel like WandaVision being the first Marvel television show wholly in-house from Disney, it is, what's the word? It's being used to carry a lot of water, and it's also being used to like be a little bit more experimental in this stuff. I honestly don't know where it's going, but at this point I don't care. I'm here for it. Like I'm on board with it. I love the slow burn. My biggest thing is obviously we don't have a lot to go off of for Disney Plus exclusive content, especially all in-house Marvel stuff. Cause everything we've had from Marvel that's a television show previously has been, you know, on ABC or on Hulu or all the shows we had on Netflix, and they all have their own like, you know, spin on it. The Netflix ones did the same thing all Netflix shows do. They all felt a little saggy in the middle. They're like a couple episodes too long, but even though they're completely different departments, I watch something like The Mandalorian and it gives me hope that maybe Disney Plus is going to be better at this. I don't know. You know, those are Marvel and Star Wars are not the same, whatever, but I don't know. Kevin Feige's making Star Wars movies now. I don't know. Maybe that's just, I don't know. But I will say that I'm just impressed with it. Like, especially just like the attention to like, we're going to fully buy into this concept. Like the first episode alone, like, they didn't just kind of make it a sitcom. Like they clearly wrote an actual 3-act sitcom script with jokes and a laugh track and like the chemistry and the plane. It was pitch perfect. It was an episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show or the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Like it was clever. It was funny. It would have been a good episode of sitcom television, and they're using the 3-camera setup, fixed location. But then when things would go weird, you know, the camera would go more cinematic. It would pan up. It would zoom in. It would widen the shot. It would do a lot of clever camera stuff. I am on board with whatever it is they're doing, and I'm on this ride. I don't care where it takes us. I'm just excited to go.
You even forgot to mention they even had commercials, like Stark and Hydra level commercials there. It's been interesting. I think though, if we don't get somewhere soon, it's going to play out. And I'm starting to be like, I'm ready for us to get to where we're starting to figure out something. And I feel like at the end of episode three, we definitely were heading that direction. You're right. They not only tease Sword, I think they've made it very clear Sword's going to be a part of this. You obviously, as you mentioned, the original layout of the shows and movies was to have WandaVision lead up to the new Doctor Strange film when it was all supposed to be a part of it. And then, as you mentioned, the House of M storyline, we know X-Men can tie in this to now. We know that depending on what comics you've read or what universes you've followed, that Wanda and Quicksilver are Magneto's children, right? So it's there's a lot of, like you mentioned, there's so much that is being put on its shoulder, the show's shoulders, and it could go all those directions and possibly still work because we have not been let down fully, at least on the long run, by the MCU. And there are a couple sore spots there, but it's something that I think, because it is Marvel, because it is Feige, it is Disney, that I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt right now. But I also think we're at a point to where it's either time to shit or get off the pot. Like, we've done the sitcom thing. Let's get serious. Let's see what's going on. Because now I'm to the point to where it's like, those theories are just like, what the hell's going on, is basically where I'm leaving the end of each episode. So I'm ready for some answers, I guess, is what I'm trying to say here.
I don't know. I'm still fine with no answers, because the ride has been good enough. The style has, there's been enough style that I don't need substance just yet. Maybe I'll be where you're at one more episode in, but for right now, I'm happy to just be on the ride. So
fair enough.
But speaking of all things Disney, it's been a week now, 2 weeks. Disney basically announced their new video game label, Lucasfilm Games, which is basically old LucasArts, I guess. But the big part of this announcement was, without coming out and saying it, it basically made it clear that EA no longer is going to have exclusive rights to Star Wars games, which I think excites a great many people. EA has had exclusive rights to Star Wars games for a while. They've made basically two, maybe three, and they've had mixed results at best. But the two big announcements were, number one, Ubisoft getting the rights to do it. They're going to be developing a big open world Star Wars game. The other big one was Bethesda, Todd Howard, the people there, Machine Engine, making a Indiana Jones game, which there hasn't been an Indiana Jones game in 15, 20 years. And there's been rumors now, these ones not as substantiated, those were official announcements, but rumors that there's even possibly a Knights of the Old Republic game in the works. So I guess the question is, how excited are you, more excited about EA losing the rights to Star Wars, or more worried about, will any of these other games that have been announced be any good? I mean,
I think we're all excited about EA losing those rights, right? You mentioned they've been sitting on it for forever with two games, but what's even more important is how many rumors came along those two games. Let's not also forget that EA is best known for their pay-to-play model. They love putting in those little extras that you can pay for to get
sense ahead. Of accomplishment. A sense of accomplishment.
Oh, my bad.
A Star Wars game. That quote was from a Star Wars game. Gives them a sense of accomplishment.
So exactly. So I think it's the EA is getting their hands off of it. Even if they are involved with the project in the future, they still have competition for other ones, because EA is still capable. It's just a matter of, they shouldn't be in complete control of it. I'm going to assume, as we just talked about in the last, you know, topic, I'm going to assume all things with Disney and Marvel or Star Wars, all of those things, are in good hands until they prove otherwise. So even though we're handing these out to different studios, they're studios that have good, positive reputations for the most part. And I think they're capable. So I'm excited, and I'll get more excited if we see more on a Knights of the Old Republic game.
That's fair. I mean, here's the thing. If Bethesda makes a really, really good Indiana Jones game, I will be literally the happiest person in the world. At the same time, Todd Howard and Bethesda, it's been a long time since Skyrim and Fallout 3 came out. Let's just say that. And there's been a lot of things that have, actually a lot, there's been a few things that have come out since then that are not to that caliber. So who knows? And if this slows down my next Elder Scrolls game, then that's a whole other thing. But it's a totally different department. I'm just being facetious at this point. But I'm surprised Todd Howard made time for this, and he's not busy, you know, finding a way for me to play Skyrim on my fridge. But it is what it is. So,
yeah, you want to play Skyrim on your fridge?
Listen, Skyrim has been ported to literally everything ever made. I assume it's but the fridge is next.
That's very possible. It's very possible with the screens. Let's hit in one more topic before we hit on some quick hits and wrap us up for the evening. But I think news that just dropped today, actually, they've already started filming Netflix's The Sandman, although there has been tons of back and forth pre-production problems, script changes. But the news today is Taron Egerton, the star of Kingsman, is joining the cast. So we're here. We've got filming confirmed. We've got episodes in the works. And now we have stars being announced more and more as they get to characters. Are we still excited about this, or has all of the back and forth over the years kind of got you a little worried, Tyler? I know Neil Gaiman's a big deal.
I'm 100% still on board with it. I mean, Gaiman adaptations are notorious for being all over the place. American Gods started where it was, then it went one place, went another, and now it's still a thing. Then we've got him and Pratchett's adaptation. I mean, he was on, you know, was basically the showrunner for the adaptation of Good Omens, which I think many people loved. Many people were like, I don't know, but I was a big fan.
Yeah.
Sandman's a whole different animal. For one, it's a comic, which for better or for worse, gives a lot more source material for an aesthetic and a look. But at the same time, Sandman spans a huge story. They changed artists multiple times. They did multiple styles. They did everything from, you know, straight horror to thriller to there's a Shakespeare one. There's all these weird little stories about Dream throughout the Endless and all the things that start with D, Delirium and Dream and Death and all the fun things. I mean, I'm excited to see who plays Death. That's honestly what I'm looking forward to. I'm trying to figure out who Taron Egerton is, and in my head he's Lucifer, but he could be Dream. He could be, I don't know. The more I'm thinking about it, I feel like he could be a lot of different people. There's just a lot to unpack there. They're obviously going to have to make changes. They're going to have to make twists and turns to kind of adapt it to where it is, but I'm on board. I'm going to do it. Let's rock and roll.
Edgerton is the devil. I could see working there. But I think if this was a movie, I'd be worried at this point. I would have been worried in the first place. But with the amount, you know, we were just talking about it, WandaVision, $300 million for one season. Like, they're investing in their shows, these different streaming platforms. People are putting money behind these things. So I think they can put the effort and time and money into a long running series. And as long as they don't rush it, I think it'll be fine. I'm not going to get too excited, though. I'm not going to go the other way with it until we actually see something, whether it be a trailer, first look, whatever it is, to give us a little tease, at least, to know what's going on. Because, I mean, if 2020 taught us anything, don't get your hopes up. Don't get your hopes up. So, all right. Well, that's it for our big questions this week. As you listen to us, we're going to be airing every other week on Thursday. We're recording on Wednesday. So make sure if you think of a topic that you want us to be discussing or debating, head on over to projectnerd.com or our social media outlets and let us know what we should be talking about, as well as any other feedback on the podcast. And of course, Versus is available on the PN1 feed, Project Nerd Podcast. So if you're catching this on Project Nerd or on your computer and you want to listen to it on the go, head on over to wherever you get your podcast and search Project Nerd Podcast. All right, let's wrap us up with some quick hits, Tyler. We'll rapid fire these answers here, kind of some other things, because there is actually quite a bit going on right now. One thing I loosely hit on earlier too is that first trailer for Godzilla versus Kong arrived. What are we thinking?
I mean, I watched it. I mean, here's the thing. Godzilla, King of the Monsters was terrible, but in the best way possible. This one looks like it might just be terrible, but I'm willing to give it a shot.
Yeah, too much humor.
It's fun to watch. I mean, the memes have been really good. I don't know if you've seen any of the memes, but the memes have been good. A lot of them revolve around the first half of the movie is Kong and Godzilla fighting, but in the middle, they become best friends because they realize they're both their mothers are named Mothra.
Mothra. Yeah. Yeah. I did see that one. All right. Too much of the human element, I think, but also, all right. Robert Rodriguez is set to reboot his own Spy Kids franchise.
Yeah, whatever.
Reboot his own franchise.
Okay. He do what he wants.
That's fair.
People watch his stuff. Robert Rodriguez do what he wants. Tomb Raider, a sequel set Misha Green to write and direct. Does Alicia Vikander's Tomb Raiding reboot deserve a follow-up?
I think so. Orion, my son, bashes on that first movie a lot, especially because it borrows probably too much from the Indiana Jones. but I liked it. I thought it was good.
I mean, Tomb Raider's a straight Indiana Jones homage, if you will, just with a female protagonist. Misha Green, I'm a big fan of. I like her work. And not unlike Robert Rodriguez, Alicia Vikander can do whatever she wants.
Right. That's fair. All right. Well, let's stick with Tomb Raider because Netflix and Legendary just announced this week they're adapting both the Tomb Raider film franchise as well as Kong Skull Island into anime series. Are you going to be checking those out?
I will definitely give them a shot. Netflix and these people have done some really strange ones, but the Castlevania one is amazing. Some of the other ones, this new like Wrath of the Gods one wasn't as great, but I will definitely give them a shot because if they're close to as good as Castlevania, it's worth a watch.
Okay. I'll go with you on that one.
Lord of the Rings Gollum, the stealth video game, has been delayed another year. Who's sneakier, Snake or Gollum?
You got to get in that cardboard box, baby. You got to get in that cardboard box.
It's Gollum, don't be dumb.
Okay. All right. Well, lastly, let's get on the same page here as we close out. The movie we're most excited for this year, is it still Dune?
Yeah, don't be. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'll see you in theaters in October then, right?
Yeah. I will 100% be there opening night to see Dune, and maybe the night after, and maybe the night after that. I don't know.
Vaccine or no vaccine. That's right. So, all right. Well, that's it for this week's episode of Versus. We hope you liked it and that you check it out. Check next week right here on the same channel for The Last Word. We'll be premiering another competitive podcast. And then, like we said, every other Thursday, you can catch us here on Versus. Head on over again, wherever you get podcasts, and make sure you head on over to projectnerd.com/podcast for all of our amazing podcasts. That's right. projectnerd.com/podcast. Until next time.
Good night.